Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by us. Yes, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are bringing you live by ourselves just to be unique and to be the best podcast out there. Follow me, of course, on Instagram, warrior-fit, to get basically the movement. Follow the movement. Everyone needs to be fit in their life. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll keep it short and sweet on the introduction tonight. We have Sunny to get to, the quarterly MMA report, of course. And we are going to dive into a little bit of NBA talk. So buckle up. I know if you're an MMA fan, hang in there. NBA fan should enjoy it. And on the line with me tonight, I have the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Don't Give a Fuck, middle fingers up, slap your mama in the butt. Yes, Mr. Paycheck himself, Percy Love, Andrew Merritt.
Hey.
Andrew, are you getting any kind of backlash on your end?
Not at all.
Kind of echo, just making sure.
None at all, my friend. I got to say, I love the Percy Love line. That was fantastic. And I got to say, Ryan, I am very excited again. You know, yo-yo, what it do for the fans. But, you know, something, we're going to start a little different today. We'll at least get a good 10 minutes because I'm jacked up right now, Ryan. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to, like, you know, I like Golden State, too. It's easy for me to get behind players in the NBA, you know, kind of like yourself. And,
yeah.
You know, before everyone says, you know,
definitely.
Oh, I'm a bandwagon fan, whatnot.
Oh, no.
Yes, I am. My main argument.
When it comes to the playoffs, there is no bandwagon, my friend.
But.
I feel
point,
like, unless you're rocking the championship gear, absolutely.
Yes, but the point I was going to say is making, you know, the Warriors, this is a team that's, you know, made history, you know, 73-9, the best regular season ever. I mean, I'm for one, Ryan. I would love to see them, you know, finish it out and be the best team ever because, you know, we are witnessing some history, you know. What happened? 73-9, best team ever, all-time Bulls. This is an all-time great team. So, yeah, I kind of am prone to want to see them more, win more. But, however, Ryan, let me back it up a little bit. We're paging Dr. Edwards on this one.
The fact
that they were able to come back from 3-1 down, you know, come back, get that win on OKC on their home floor with all, you know, getting blown out pretty much back-to-back. You know, everyone pretty much thought they were out of it. Just, what are your thoughts overall? The fact they could tie at 3-3, the fact they could come back, not playing that good, and you're playing a team where Kevin Durant has been playing like the best player in the league. He's a man on a mission. He's on a tear. But to come back, get that win at OKC, not get eliminated, I mean, what does this tell you about the heart of Golden State?
This shows truly that Golden State is a championship team. This is a team that clearly could be a dynasty, but it's a team that's not going to, you know, they're in a fucking swamp pit. They're in a fucking, you know, they're buzzing around with a bunch of bees. Let's put it this way. They are with a bunch of other lions in the West. And, you know, obviously Cleveland is with a bunch of little kitty cats, you know, with a bunch of little house cats. So, obviously, Golden State, you know, with this record-breaking season, and, of course, they pushed themselves to the limit during the regular season, which I, for one, was saying that they could wear themselves out, which I believe they did, trying to reach that, you know, that mark, that record. And, you know, Chicago Bulls had Michael Jordan. I mean, I know Steph Curry's great, but it's Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. But I do think they wore themselves out. But I just think they're playing such a high-caliber opposition. And the team that they are playing, Oklahoma City, They truly are. The Thunder is a great name, but they're the, in my opinion, the Hurricanes. They come through firing. And any team out there, if it's the Cavs, it's going to be the Cavs. Any team is going to have to make huge adjustments, because in those first couple games, you are going to have to get used to not only guarding Kevin Durant, but guarding, in my opinion, a guy who could, in my opinion, altogether is a better player. I'm putting it on record right now than Kevin Durant. Honestly, right up there with Steph Curry as one of the most explosive, best players in the league, Russell Westbrook, just a complete monster, and a guy who's a two-way, just monster. And a team that finally got a coach who knows how to coach, and a team that is stacked inside. They've been taking advantage. And when you're Golden State, honestly, their game is, you know, they shoot the threes, and if they're on fire, they're on fire. But if they're not on fire, they have to depend on Andrew Bogut setting the screens, obviously, to get some inside buckets. But the biggest thing is they have to depend on Andrew Bogut and Draymond Green to rebound inside so they can kick it back out, reset, and take another three. And, you know, that's been their game for the last couple of years. And when you have Oklahoma City with the presence they have inside and Ibaka finally waking up, I wouldn't say he's justified him being chosen over James Harden, but Steven Adams and Ibaka and Deion Waiters all of a sudden hitting threes and scoring like 18 points, where the fuck did that come from? I'm just saying Oklahoma City had the perfect game plan for Golden State. They exposed Steph Curry on defense, which we all know is very doable, and they got a guy like Dellavedova, but like a million times better, wearing Steph Curry out. And that is how you beat Golden State. But Golden State came back and they showed the heart of a champion. And to be down 3-1 to a team with maybe two top five players on the team and to come back and make it a seven-game series is just one of the best stories in sports and one of the hardest things you can do in sports. And for, you know, Golden State, what a year with two coaches, basically. Luke Walton, shout out. I can't wait to have you in the Lakers. But to get it all together and to get it to seven games, truly so impressive. And, you know, like I told you over text, Mrs. Andrew, I've been so busy. I haven't been able to even watch the playoffs. But just reading, hearing about it, you know, really, that's my impression is really, you know, Oklahoma City has just been so game these playoffs. And Golden State, you know, they had to really make adjustments. And I believe Golden State, you know, they really have to take advantage when their bench is on the floor. And they really need their bench to take over at times, because I believe they just have such a better bench than Oklahoma City that that needs to be their advantage. They need Iguodala and plenty of guys to step up. And we'll see if that happens. But now it comes down to a one-game series. And I don't know what your next question is, but I do have a few opinions on that one-game series.
Yeah, no, I do have my next question. And I just wanted to quick add, like, you know, if you're OKC, you really have to be kicking yourself. I still don't know how they watched this game or how they won that game. I'm pretty disappointed. Golden State shots were just not falling.
18
threes. In the beginning of the game, they were just – I saw them missing a lot of shots.
Oh, and then,
you know, they were almost down 10 at one point late in the third, and I thought, here it goes. Steph Curry misses a couple shots, and OKC, honestly, that rebounding team is just – they're too great of rebounders. They're just too
Andrew,
great. It's unbelievable. But I'm just saying – Steph Curry to come back, they were down six, hit back-to-back threes, then Klay Thompson hit one. It is quite amazing. So, Ryan, my next question, what do you want to add?
Klay Thompson, he put 40 points up. At least that's what I read on the box score. This guy, you know, putting up 35 points in a quarter, he's shown that he can be a Steph Curry. Like, Klay Thompson,
yeah.
he needs to be part of that big three, and Draymond Green too. They need to be that big three. They need to be the all-stars when Steph Curry is you know, limping around and he can't do it all. And obviously they have a stacked team all around. But Klay Thompson on any other team could be a number one guy. And at any time, he can catch fire. He's just too off and on, off and on. And obviously, he's one of the best defenders, you know, in his position. You know, maybe sometimes having to make up for Steph's, you know, defense, it wears him down. But this showed tonight that, you know, when Klay Thompson is on, that's what makes Golden State unstoppable. That's why they are called the Splash Brothers. And those 40 points could have saved Golden State's season.
Definitely. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just kind of amazing, the testament for them being able to hang around, because they were missing a lot of shots. And just, you know, it's funny, Ryan, when you live and die by the three, you know, it's crazy. And you think to come back at the end, down six, Steph hits back-to-back threes, and then Klay hits a three to take the lead. I mean, Ryan, that's a 9-point swing in, like, you know, a minute. It's absurd. It's absurd, and I love watching it. It's a pleasure. So, Ryan, my next question I have to ask. So, you know, Golden State has to have all the momentum playing at home, and you know how important, you know, home court advantage is in the NBA. It's pretty huge. It might be a sport where home court is, like, I feel like has the most impact. So going back, okay, and OKC has to be disappointed just because they were up 3-1 and they couldn't close it out at home. Golden State's got all the momentum, but with the way OKC is playing, I mean, they've won there once before. They could certainly do it again, and you have probably two of the top five best players in the game. So question one, Ryan, who do you have going into in the game? All right, question two, like, who do you have? Who do you favor? What's your prediction? And then question number two, even crazier. So Kevin Durant, we all know, is a free agent after this year. He might stay after this run. Donovan's their new coach. He looks great. I mean, but granted, they probably have one of the best rosters in the league. They should be, you know, playing for a championship. But do you think, you know, they have to win this game for KD to stay? Do you think they have to win it all from this day? Do you think he's going to stay regardless? If he loses, might he leave? Because you got to think everyone's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at him. So do you think, okay, see, this is a must-win for KD to stay? Who you got? Just let me get the breakdown, bro.
You know, let me start with Kevin Durant. It's hard to get inside a guy's head. But, you know, I believe if they lose in a fashion that's heartbreaking, or even let's say it's a blowout or something like that, then that could be like a LeBron situation where you finally just have to leave. But if you look out there, to me, it could be one of those deals where I'm not sure Durant's pure deal. I think he's up past that, you know, where you can opt in 1 year and then wait. I'm not sure if he's past that. But that might be – I believe he does have that option. So I think Durant might just opt in another year and then wait. I think that's probably his best option. See what OKC can do on the free agency market. See if they can, you know, build up that shooting guard position and get some more shooters in there, because that's clearly what they're lacking. Not throwing all your money at Enes Kanter, who doesn't even start, and Jesus Christ. All the bad decisions. But if you're Durant, I mean, I don't know where you're going to find greener pastures, but you have to look around the league and be like, you know, what are my other options? If I'm going to sign a huge contract for another 5 years, is Russell going to stay? Like, can we actually win in Oklahoma City? And, you know, if you are basically losing again this year with all this momentum after beating the Spurs, you got to say, like, oh, man, I mean, can we actually do it? And
with arguably
really
one of the best teams, just to throw it out there, you know? Like, team is absurd. Jesus.
Definitely. And if they beat a record-breaking team, I think that definitely has to put them up there. But if they get smoked by the Cavs, you know, everything could change. But, you know, like, looking at it, you know, there was other teams that were definitely in the race. But if you look at Houston, like a mind-boggling move, you know, Kevin Durant is already played at Texas. But you bring in Mike D'Antoni, I mean, that's not the guy I want to –
Go home, Houston, you're drunk.
Mike Dan English, I believe they called him, because he can't really speak English that well.
Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni, yeah. OD.
D'Antoni without the D, because he plays no D. Like, that's not the guy you want to bring in to try to recruit Kevin Durant. Obviously, you have the Phil Jacksons out there. The Lakers roster is not ready for Kevin Durant to come yet. That's why I think that maybe that 1 year – we all know he wants to
play
in LA.
Could be the Spurs. The rumor is the Spurs are going to go full court.
Are they
going to
get rid of Leonard, you know, like that small
No, I think they would try and play them both.
I mean, how are they going to afford it? Danny Green, like, I just think that's fantasy. Just like saying Golden State might blow up their roster. Like, if you have a Leonard, I don't think you're bringing in a Kevin Durant. In my opinion, I've said this, and I'm going to say it on record now. If I'm building a team right now, I would rather have healthy Paul George or a healthy Leonard, just because they bring that defense and that offense, and they both are truly young and have so much upside and have proved they can build their bodies and keep getting better. And I think Kevin Durant has showed us all the tricks in his book. He is not – got a post game. He has not gotten better. He is just a tremendous scorer and one of the best players in the league. But in my opinion, I would rather have both those guys just because I need that two-way player on the wing. So if I'm the Spurs, I'm sticking with the guy who shut down LeBron James in the finals. I'm just saying, and Paul George, we all know what he can do. He just needs the players around him. But to get to out of Kevin Durant's little mind where he's drinking Sprite and getting deals and who knows what the fuck that dude's thinking about. Why is Russell Westbrook dressing this way? That's probably one of the things. Truly, I don't, because I have been a curse on teams, and I really don't want to curse this team. I've been so pro them. Despite the fact, before the NBA season, I did say Oklahoma City was going to make the championship this year, and then I reneged it and said that Golden State was going to make it. I just think right now, with one game to go, if these two teams have a one-game series at Golden State, I just think Golden State is the better team. I believe that the championship-level people, you know, they've been there, they've done that. They can always catch fire. I think they can do it. But with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you never know. The rebounding battle is going to be so important. And watch out for the free agent battle, because – so many guys, you know, their careers are, you know, kind of showing right now. I mean, they're all going to get paid, but, you know, how big are they going to be in free agency? Harrison Barnes, what is he going to do against Kevin Durant, a free agent? Festus Ezeli, what is he going to do? What can he do in this game, this show? I mean, all these guys want to keep playing. Kevin Durant, obviously. Russell Westbrook in the future. So many guys, you know, Andrew Bogut has a contract coming up. He can't get schooled. You know, he wants the Warriors to keep him around, not go chasing other big names. There's so many free agents on both of these squads that just have to prove themselves. So important. But I think Golden State, just because of the momentum and the fact that they're just catching fire. Yeah, playing at home, they're so good at home, even though OKC has beaten them there. I just think when they have the momentum, I think it's one of those things, like Oklahoma City lost it and Golden State captured it. And, that's the main thing. But I do have to say Golden State relies on those three-pointers, and if they're not landing and they're not getting those rebounds, then Oklahoma City will blow Golden State out. I will have to say that. I can either see this being a close Golden State victory with them hitting tons of threes, or this is going to be an Oklahoma City blowout. That's how it's going to go, and I'm worried about both these teams facing the Cavs. I'm not as confident as I was going into the playoffs with a very rested Cavs team.
Alrighty, and then, all right, Ryan. First of all, Dr. Edwards, great segment. Gotta love it. And folks, get ready for more
and
more. More and more NBA talk to come in the future. But all right, Ryan, is it time to give the people what they want?
Let's give the people what they want. All right. Well, we are going to jump into, I think you were a little memorized from my voice there. We are going to give the people basically an MMA, UFC, Bellator, whatever you want to call it, 1FC, quarterly report of the state of the sport, how the sport is doing, how the sport is doing this year, what fighters are on the up and up, what fighters are on the down slopes, how the championships look, everything to do with MMA in this quarter of the year and the rest of the year to come. Andrew, where do you want to start?
First of all, let's we'll go to promotions and then maybe fighters. Let's go promotions and fighters. First promotion, just to switch it up from the UFC, we will touch on the UFC, but let's just start out. Quick little report, opening of the year for Bellator. Michael Venom Page got a victory. They poached some great fighters. They got Benson Henderson, a couple big victories here and there. Kimbo was able to win a fight. Ryan, what is your thoughts on Bellator for the first quarter of the year? Were you impressed? Left wanting more? How do you think they did, and how do they build on it? They have a pretty stacked quarter two coming up, or quarter three. What are your thoughts on Bellator for how they did and what's lying ahead?
Professor Edwards now checking in. It's going to have to give Bellator a B-, close to a C in this part of the year, because Bellator is doing what Spike TV wants them to do. They are capturing ratings here and there. They do have some big, big fights coming up. They did have the shenanigans that happened with Kimbo Slice and Data 5000, 3000, whatever the fuck his name is, heart attack in the ring, all eyeballs on the promotion. I mean, who didn't think that was going to be an epic slugfest? Turned out to be the worst fight ever. The Ken Shamrock getting kicked in the balls. I'm not sure if Kimbo Ken was this year. I think it might have been last. But obviously that got a lot of eyeballs. That did put a lot of negative press on Bellator. But I have to give them a good rating because Bellator is getting the ratings. And not only that, if you look at Bellator, they have so many young guys that they still haven't. And this could be a spite on them too. But there is certain guys they are starting to promote. It's a very, very deep roster. It's not as deep as Strikeforce, but Scott Coker is definitely building a deep, deep roster. I mean, if you look at welterweight, Paul Daly, Douglas Lima, Corstro, they got Benson Henderson, just so many guys at welterweight, lightweight, Michael Chandler. Obviously, they got rid of their champion. I don't care. It will go to the UFC. He brought really nothing to the promotion. So they brought Thompson over. Just all over, they have great champions, and they also have young studs. Liam McGarry is 6'6", British, training under Enzo Gracie in New York, fighting Phil Davis, a guy who is one of the most athletic guys in the UFC, beat Machida and Glover Teixeira, tore Glover up in the UFC. Just tons of talent. And then, of course, Michael Venom Page, you have one of the best talents in MMA on your roster. I mean, it does not hurt to have that. Plus tons of talent in their smaller weight classes. And they started Bellator kickboxing, which now they have tons of kickboxers like Joe Schilling who can become MMA stars. And they could do kind of cross promotions like they're doing in Dynamite. They got Rampage back, which is a big ratings bump for them. Plus they still have Tito. And, they're winning a lot of free agency battles. So I got to say, it's definitely a good time for Bellator. They are slacking in certain divisions, though. Andrew, do you think Bellator, where do you think they've gone wrong this year? Where do you think they need to start strengthening up at?
Ryan, I think they're about to address that coming forward to some of these great fights. But, I mean, the reason why I'd agree completely with you on the grade you gave them, they had some big headlines off out of the ring, but they were lacking that memorable war, that fight of the year, you know, a couple just epic fights. Sick cards got viewers, but, you know, they didn't deliver how, you know, we would want them to. I mean, there was just not a fight on there that was a good type of memorable. I mean, I'm sure we'll always remember the Kimbo Data fight because, I mean, first time I've ever seen an MMA fighter get knocked out via heart attack.
And the last card was the worst card ever. And
it was
you had
terrible.
Melvin Manhoef for the title. I mean, you would expect that to be War of the Year.
Their last two cards were just lacking, and I'm sorry, just Phil Davis. I got to say I'm a little worried with Liam McGeary. Just Phil Davis will probably just try and wrestle fuck him. We'll see what happens. But I think that's a lot about to change. The next, so the next Bellator cards, just as you were saying, Ryan, they are exciting. So I think we're going to get some real good fights in the future. And it also hurt that you threw all that money at Benson Henderson and he got his ass kicked. But yet,
but
it also helped you.
But it's an entertaining ass look. And I'll say that's one fight, definitely go back and watch, ladies and gentlemen, because that is a talented man that beat Benson Henderson.
But, definitely. And, I mean, it does help. It does help strengthen your name as well for the type of fighters you have. Now, Ryan, switching on to promotions, let's get to the UFC, the bread and butter. I felt like they did have a pretty good quarter one just because, you know, all the Conor buzz, the attention you made. However, I think they're really setting up for a shitty, you know, quarter, or I want to say like quarter three. I mean, granted, we got UFC 200 coming at six. But we got a lot of bad injuries, fighters on there that were supposed to be fighting that aren't fighting. And, of course, you know, there's an impending sale. There's rumors about the Fertitta brothers trying to buy into a football team, and the UFC is going to get sold. They lost fighters to Bellator, but they gained a couple fighters. What are your thoughts on the UFC? How do you grade their quarter one? And then, you know, quarter two, look out, look. It's looking bleak right now, but what are your thoughts?
I should give UFC a lot lower grade than I'm going to give them because of the shenanigans that have been happening outside of the ring. But I'm going to give them slightly above Bellator a B. I think Bellator has been, with what they've been given, definitely, you know, they've made more. They made a better dinner with what they've been given. The UFC, you know, they've had so much, you know, opportunities to basically, you know, they were at a spot, and we've seen them on ESPN, on Good Morning America, even Paige VanZant, Dancing with the Stars. They have so many stars in the making, and their biggest star to be on UFC 200 would have been so big, but the shenanigans that took place, I mean, really, really just puts a dark spot on the UFC in this part of the year and the injuries. It's just typical of what happens in the UFC. Obviously, they have all the fighters, so it's very easy to replace people, but you have Anderson Silva losing, Conor McGregor obviously losing, but, you know, then he can't get his rematch. It's just tons of shenanigans happening. But there's tons of excitement also. I got to say also John Jones having a lackluster return. But I got to say the UFC has been stacking up future cards, which I'm very excited about. I'm glad that, you know, they're finally stacking these pay-per-views a little bit better despite the injuries. It seems like they're really giving Fox some really good cards, like Rumble Johnson. I think they're just putting that guy on there just because they know he's going to knock motherfuckers out. But, you know, Holly Holm, I think they thought she was going to be their next star. She gets beat by Misha Tate. Rousey's been missing. It just seems like they should be at an A+, but yet they keep biting themselves. You know, they keep stubbing their toes, and it's all because of dumb moves like the Reebok deal. And then, leaking that, you know, you might be selling. I mean, how can your fighters think about that? And then you say that your fighters are basically independent workers. They're not working for you. But BJ Penn, a legend, tells the new drug testing that you have that he took an IV and he did not know if that was wrong, if he could do it year, you know, if it was just inside the ring or before a fight he could do it or when he could basically do it, and he got suspended. So I think the UFC, you know, they just don't have control of certain things that are going on. And let's face it, this Conor McGregor shenanigans has really overshadowed everything. Just you have to make that fight for UFC 200. They rebounded with Jones-Cormier, but it's just not the same as having Conor and Nate Diaz. But we'll see. I mean, these cards coming up are very exciting, but you know, UFC 201, you're starting to take a little bit of a dip there. And then UFC 202, if they can't get Conor on that card, what are you going to do then? 203, we're going to start seeing some really big dips in these big pay-per-views the UFC has been having. We're going to see how they can do without living off of the, let's have Ronda on one card and then Conor on the next card. What happens in the next year if Conor loses? What can the UFC do? I mean, basically they've been living off the Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey show. What can they do without these fighters? I mean, Andrew, and all, you know, just looking at it, you know, we had Anderson Silva, Brock Lesnar, GSP at one point. How exciting are these UFC champions if we really look at it? We have Stipe, you know, we have Daniel Cormier, John Jones. Obviously, that's, you know, a tremendous, you know, rivalry. But Luke Rockhold, is he ever going to be an Anderson Silva at 170? Obviously, Robbie Lawler is definitely, you know, he's a warrior, but is he a name? 155, we have a fucking dud in Rafael Dos Anjos. Someone please take that belt. Anthony Pettis failed, their future star. Cowboy Cerrone ran from the division. Nate Diaz has no interest in fighting that boring, fucking ugly-ass dude. 145, Conor McGregor, but he doesn't even want to fight in that division. But there's tons of exciting prospects. 135, you know, Dominic Cruz is a great champion. It's actually become an exciting division. I think they are building those divisions very well. But 125, Demetrius Johnson, why is he not going up? He's just kind of dominating, a little bit boring. And the women's divisions, I love Joanna Champion. She's a great champion. I can't say her last name. And, you know, I love the Misha Tate-Ronda Rousey battle. So basically, the UFC has tons of future stars that they can make. But what are they going to do with them? They're stacked in each division. But what are they going to do with all these fighters? There's just tons of questions.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, Ryan. They hit a song, and I gotta say one thing I do like about these cards. I think they've started. It seems like they started to make some of these cards as of late so stacked that like they're ready for a fighter to get hurt. So if someone or something to happen, they get pulled. It's still a good card. Ryan, switching up from events. I was thinking about this one for a little bit. You know, fighter of, you know, the first part of the year, the first quarter, you know, the beginning of the year for 2017. And, you know, I was thinking about a bunch of different fighters. But, Ryan, I mean, even though he's slowing down on steam, you have to think Nate Diaz, you know. I mean, this is a guy everyone said they thought should retire after his performance against RDA. Then he comes out, beats Michael Johnson, and then he comes out and has, you know, one of the biggest victories in UFC history. In MMA history, over Conor McGregor, and then all of a sudden everyone respects him. They loved how, you know, just the classic Nate line, surprise motherfuckers, and everyone took notice and said, hey, you know, Nate Diaz is actually pretty funny. The Diaz aren't dicks. They're actually kind of funny. You know what I mean? Like all the Diaz haters.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I mean, I don't know if you'd agree with that. You'd want to go a different one. But another one I was thinking about, which is even harder, you got to think, the losers, the biggest losers of this quarter. You know, I was going back and forth, going around, and The one name that's been sticking out to me is late, and I'm not remembering everyone, but, you know, Benson Henderson leaves the UFC, makes a bunch of money, you know, and he comes into Bellator, and you're coming from the UFC, a UFC champ.
What do you think he's making a bunch of money in the UFC?
No, it wasn't all. So his bank account is better, but, you know, as a fighting perspective, and, you know, looking at him, you know, as a fighter, now let's not, you know, equate bank into it, but you make a lot more money, you go to Bellator, but then you just get your ass beat down, you get your ass handed to you, so that definitely hurts. So, Ryan, I know I'm forgetting some of the Biggest Losers. I don't remember when the Aldo fight happened, but, you know, that was a huge one, too. I don't remember if it happened in January or not. You'd have to throw his name up there. But who are some of the biggest losers of the beginning part of the year, and who are some of your better winners? And let me get a couple fighters for each, just some of the great winners and the great losers. I don't remember when the Rockhold fight happened either, when he fought.
Yeah,
I'll
start with the greatest or the best winners right now, the people on the up and over, the people who did the most, or not did the most, but made the most of, you know.
Yeah, got the biggest buzz, like, you know, doing the thing.
Yeah. Definitely Nate Diaz first. I'll piggyback off you with that. I mean, it shocks me that it took this long for people to realize Diaz clan. I mean, we've known that it's literally a clan. They have such a big following. There's a reason. Go back and watch Nate Diaz on The Ultimate Fighter. The kid is an absolute star. And it shocks me that it took the UFC this long to realize it. And Nate Diaz, you have to love the fact that he has the best bargaining chip right now, because literally he will walk away from the sport if he does not get what he wants. And we all know that Conor McGregor fight, that's the fight that has to happen. It's funny how fans weren't clamoring for it when they announced it, and now everybody wants it. I mean, unless Conor McGregor cuts down, and it's still not as, to me, it's not as big. Even if he cuts back down to 145, I think that's where he belongs. But the UFC with their weight-cutting rules now have pretty much made it impossible. But it's still not as big if he fights like a Frankie Edgar, because that is now, with all the buzz, that is now the fight. And Nate Diaz just made himself so rich in one fight. And also, you know, that impressive victory over Michael Johnson. I got to say, Cyborg and Miesha Tate, both of them have capitalized so much, especially Miesha Tate, with all of the marketing and all of the basically nice girl. You know, she steals the show from Holly Holm. She's going to get that rematch with Ronda. She's talking so much shit about Ronda, but she's that nice girl. You know, she's stealing the show. She finally got that UFC belt. And Cyborg with that knockout, we all want to see what's next for Cyborg. Are they going to build a division around
him? Ooh, I forgot about
just
Cyborg.
Go back to Invicta. No, the UFC needs a girl like Cyborg. And I got to say, Dominic Cruz coming back off 2 years and beating in a war, maybe one of the fights so far, I believe it was this year, against TJ Dillashaw. What an absolute, even boxing, you know, promoters were saying it was just such a technical, great battle. And he has big fights in front of him, you know. Obviously, Uriah Faber, but then you could have a rematch. And then Sterling, I mean, I don't know if you've seen that preview with him and Eric B., but
I can't
he is
wait.
A future star, too. And, you know, that could be a possible opponent for Dominic Cruz in the future. He has built a great following. And Luke Rockhold, obviously, with that dominant win over Chris Weidman. I got to say, losers, Cain Velasquez and Chris Weidman with the injuries. I mean, guys, get your bodies together. Cain Velasquez literally, one winner, Stipe Miocic. I know he got that knockout victory, but he's doing what the UFC should have done a long time ago. When you have a Holly Holm, have her fight in Albuquerque. She's so big there. But finally, they've realized it with Stipe. He's getting his own pay-per-view in his hometown. And who's bigger in their hometown right now? I mean, Stipe's title announcement got announced game 5 during the game, you know, and then it got announced by every Cleveland sports team. I mean, who's more loved in their city?
And he hit
a
home run at baseball practice. Sorry.
Yeah, he was a minor league baseball player. I mean, he's more of a jock than this guy. Let's face it. He's an All-American, just jock with the Crow Cop name. Paige Van Zandt with the Dancing with the Stars, she's made her name huge. Obviously, sorry, losers. I got to say Rafael Dos Anjos, Cain Velasquez, and Chris Weidman all losing out on huge opportunities. Dos Anjos could have been the Nate Diaz right now, but now he's fighting on Fight Pass, you fucking loser. All that
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, he's fighting, he's defending his belt against Eddie Alvarez on Fight Pass.
Fuck you, UFC. I'm sorry, but fuck you, UFC, dude.
And all that shit talking you have on Conor McGregor, look where you're at now without Conor McGregor. And Simon Velasquez, they could have been the baddest people on the planet, but no, their bodies won't allow them. And Chris Weidman never living up to that Anderson Silva potential. And Cain Velasquez, come on, you're supposed to be the next Fedor. I still believe in him, but now you're fighting Travis Brown on, like, the fourth fight at UFC 200. And for my last loser, I got to say we're doomed. You get fucking knocked out like that in front of your home country. Come on, buddy, stop making that stink face. Also, the UFC wouldn't allow him to put it, to have his fans put the mask on. That's just hilarious. Pictures of fans getting denied at the gate. The UFC with their strict rules. We're doomed. Take the betting site off of your forehead, you fucking idiot. You don't realize they're not going to allow that? Stupid. In your hotel room copying, and, you know, with the scissors cutting out his little mask, all excited about it. And then
they were handmade? Wait, he handmade those masks?
I'm just picturing a little Verdum hand making all of his little masks and then just being disappointed.
Just Dana,
no
Dana walks
are,
in. Dana
yeah.
walks. What the fuck is this shit?
Nope.
Tries to give him one, he just crumples it up and throws it away. Priceless. Ryan, real quick before we get cut off, at BK Show Andrew M. Just finish. That's my Twitter handle, by the way. That was a shitty plug. Oh well. But Ryan. So you were telling me a little news. Chael Sonnen, of course, he's back talking shit. Called out GSP, hypothetical matchmaker here. Chael's got the size. He's got the wrestling. However, GSP, one of the best fighters of all time. How do you think the old dog fares? What happened with that story? Or do you see him winning or another Anderson case? And just kind of what happened with it?
BK Show 1 on Twitter, and I got to say, Chael Sonnen, what a genius. Now you call out GSP, and if I'm the UFC, I got to make this matchup because Chael Sonnen is going to promote the hell out of it. I know GSP has
freak
other
show.
Matchups to make.
Great freak show.
Yeah, great freak show, and, you know, GSP, you know, you have it kind of at a catchway. He always says he wants to fight at 185 pounds. I know Chael has the size advantage. But, I mean, you're dealing with a guy who's finally getting drug tested. GSP can't just lay on this guy. He's going to sell the shit out of it. He's going to talk so much shit. And GSP finally has that opponent who, I mean, he obviously always has sold. But, you know, Chael Sonnen was saying he didn't go 100%, and GSP kind of big brothered him. Didn't appreciate it when they trained together. GSP just kind of said, if you would have used your size, you might have beat me. And Chael did not like that. Chael's been talking a gang of shit about him. Chael's finally coming back. You have to make this matchup just because
Chael
will remind us.
He gave him a little beatdown in the gym.
Yeah, GSP, of course, gave him a little beatdown. And this will show GSP striking. Obviously, we all want to see him maybe fight Hendricks again, maybe fight for the title. To have this fight first, because it's just going to be such a big money fight. You got to have Chael Sonnen fight at least one more big money